I'm going to focus on one little verse from the passage that was read, and it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 17. And I'd like to just challenge every Christian here, but hopefully indirectly provoke non-Christians as well. Verse 17, Paul writes, "Nevertheless, each one should retain the place in life that the Lord assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches." There's a very, very important principle in this. I'm going to ask that we just pray together before I expound the word. Please, Father God, vindicate the preaching of your word. Speak, we pray. Speak to hearts and give us, Lord, the ability to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you a contented person? Are you quite happy this morning with who you are, what you've got, where you live, etc., etc.? Are you content? God wants you to be content. In fact, God commands you to be content with your lot in life. In Exodus chapter 20, the 10th commandment is, "Thou shalt not covet." It is a sin to be discontented and unsatisfied, to be longing for greener grass on the other side of the fence, to want what other people have that you think you're entitled to. It's a sin, a breaking of the 10th commandment. God commands his people to be content. Now, please don't misunderstand me. Don't shoot off on a tangent. I am not saying that we should not expect better out of life if we get opportunity. Of course I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that God does not call people out of one circumstance and place them in another situation, because he does that all the time, doesn't he? I'm not saying we should be restless, not be restless when we could improve our lot. God wants us to be people who grow in grace and improve in our lives, of course. But there is a murmuring spirit of discontent in many Christians that should not be there. I've met people, quite honestly, who have so much to thank God for. They've got so much abundance, but they're so miserable about the things they haven't got. Looking over their shoulder at the greener grass on the other side, comparing themselves competitively with other people. I've met many people like that. They're Christians, they're blessed, but they're discontented. Maybe you're like that a bit this morning. Are you? Maybe this morning you have to admit you're not really satisfied with the lot that God's given you. And you think God could have done better than this. Well, today I'd like God's holy word, a simple verse of scripture, to speak loud and clear to you, and I pray it does. Today we're going to consider something that might be new to those of you that are not used to Reformed Christian teaching. Listen, this is a fact, attested again and again in the Bible. According to Scripture, each one of you this morning is exactly where God wants you to be. Listen, get this. You are as rich or as poor, as popular or as lonely. You're as strong or as weak, as beautiful or as plain, as God in his purpose and decree wants you to be. In fact, we read in our text this morning that we have a place in life that God has assigned to us. Now, the Greek word there is indisputably meaning what it says in English. It's the word emerisen. We have been assigned a place in life by God. And in our text, we are told we are called. We're called to a particular place in life. And you're going to see in the context, he's not talking necessarily about jobs or vocations here, but about whether you are married or single, slave or free, Jew or Gentile. He's talking about your living circumstances. You're called to your place. Now, that's not a very popular idea, is it, in our modern world, our humanistic society? People are told in our modern society by the media, you can be whatever the dickens you want to be. Hey, listen, if you don't like being a boy, you can be a girl, man. You don't like being pregnant, you can abort. Human rights, you know? Or that horribly inflated word, democracy. Freedom of choice. Those words are abused in our society, where people seem to think whatever they want to do, whatever they want to be, they can have it. But that is not what the Bible teaches. According to the word, each one of us has been assigned a place in life. Each one of us has been called by God to play a certain role. And we're told in the scriptures in front of us, we are to retain our place assigned by God. In other words, we're to be faithful with the lot that God has assigned to us. Now, I realize how politically incorrect this teaching is in the year 2017. But this is God's word for all people, for all time. Listen again to the text. Each one should retain the place in life the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. Notice this is a categorical command. In other words, it applies to all people, to all time. It applies to the Corinthian church in AD 55, and it applies to Cold Harbor Church in 2017, categorically. We are to retain our place that God has placed us in. He's assigned us a place, and we're called to be in it. We're to know our place, in other words. We're to be faithful, being the particular person God has called us to be. If there's any humanist today, I can just imagine you're boiling. You can get me at the door later on. But this is what the Bible teaches. We are told we must know our place. Now, I realize that will upset people, especially British people. Listen, British people, we've been brought up with what's known as the class system in our blood. You know, you get the working class, hoi polloi, the masses, and then you get the middle class, that's the professionals and the managers, and then you get the aristocracy. And even today, in the 21st century, British people have this inclination to grovel or to look down on, depending on positions. We're born with this sense of inferiority or superiority socially. And that's why you get a lot of bitter British people. They're either snobs or they're bitter wannabes. And it's very difficult for British people to be told biblically, hey, you've got to know your place. If someone said that to you at work, what would you say? How dare you? I'm just as good as anyone else. Know my place. Who do you think you are? We suffer from inferiority and superiority complexes, and it's difficult for us to believe we've got people above us as well as people under us, that we have to respect and we have to be responsible to different people. Know your place. As difficult as it may be, we Christians have to accept this challenge, even if it hurts our human pride. We have to face the fact that, listen, all people are not created socially equal. Yes, essentially, your human soul is equal to everyone else's human soul, but we're not created socially equal, are we? Come on, you get some people who are brilliant in intelligence and other people who are challenged in intelligence. You get some people who are strikingly beautiful and other people that are particularly plain. You get some people that have talents that get them far and other people that are sort of slow in their ways. And we have to face the fact we do not have all equal distribution of gifts and talents, no matter what Karl Marx wants to tell you. In fact, the Bible puts it this way. He will give to one person 10 talents, and he'll give to another 1 single talent. You see, as we read in our text this morning, the Lord has assigned us all to a place where he wants us to serve him. We must retain our place and prove faithful with what God has put on our plate. So what we've learned so far is this. God has assigned each of us a place in life. Do you see that clearly in the word? We all have to be faithful to what God has assigned us. He expects us to be faithful in serving him there. Listen, in the context of this passage, if you read the wider context, Paul is writing to people who are slaves, people who are free, people who are Jews, people who are Gentile, people who are married, people who are unmarried. And what he's telling them in this passage is, listen, regardless of where you find yourself as a Christian, God called you in that state, and you must stay in that state because God's got a purpose for you in that state. He goes on to tell them, listen, there may be opportunity for your situation to change, but if not, be content, listen, where God has put you. Why do we this morning need to hear this reading of Scripture? What relevance does this have for us today? I speak now as someone that talks to people on a more deep level normally as pastor. One of the most common reasons why Christians are not happy people is because we do not obey this passage. I've met so many people, church people, who are discontented. They're jealous of other people. They're competitive. They're always looking at the greener grass on the other side. They're embittered because they feel that's not fair. We can so easily, can't we, take our own blessings for granted. We can complain about the things God's given us, and let's face it, he's given us so much compared to others. And yet we can get so infuriated when we see someone walking around with benefits and pleasures that we think we're entitled to. You know, there's a little bit of a communist in all of us, isn't there? It's not fair. Come on, I want that. Level the playing fields. Why should he have what I'm entitled to? I'm as good as he is. That type of attitude. And it's very common to find Christians who are bitter and frustrated with their God-given lot in life. I know people that are trying so hard to be people that God never intended them to be. It just makes them hypocrites. Or they try so hard to achieve things that God doesn't want them to achieve, and it just makes them ultimately fail anyway. All the while, we need to realize where we are and what we have. And let's face it, we're all blessed, aren't we? Can any of you say, come on, God hasn't been good to me? If you hear the sound of the gospel and believe it, you're more privileged than you can imagine. But there is a discontentment within many of us where we're looking over our shoulder at what others have and what we think we deserve. So let me ask you again now, in God's presence, are you this morning, in honesty, a contented person? And let me remind you, the Bible tells us today, God is the one who assigned you to be the person and have the things and the people and the talents you've got. Well, let's just apply it. Firstly, who you are, what you have, what work you do, who you're married to, who you're not married to. Everything we read is given to you as an assignment of the Lord. You're called to your lot. And to understand this, you need to know the doctrine of God's providence. If you're a Cold Harborite, you'll know this well. The Bible clearly teaches, in fact, we read in the book of Psalms, God is the one who gives prosperity and causes adversity. We're told that God is the one who raises up, and God is the one who brings down in his wisdom and his providence. The Lord is the one who opens doors of opportunity. And you know what? God's the one who closes doors in your face. Step by step, your life is ordered of the Lord, we're told in the Bible. God works together all things for his own ultimate good. And all our living, all our moving, all our having its being is being dovetailed into a tapestry of God's ultimate picture. And your little strand of being is woven by the hand of God. Do you know God gave you your parents? How many of you picked your parents? You didn't, did you? God wrote your DNA coding. He decided in your coding whether you'd be male, female, black, white, whether you'd be this tall or this short. God decided all these things, and God gifted you with your talents, the providence to bring about your education and your cultural background. Do you know, according to the Bible, there's no such thing as a self-made man? You are the product of providence. God is the one that decided who you would be. Do you know there's no such thing as coincidence? There's no lucky breaks in life. According to Scripture, God's assigned you to play a certain role in his cosmic drama. And you are the person God decreed you would be. And all God asks from you, according to my text, is that you be faithful to him in the place where he's called you to be. Now, maybe you've only been given 5 talents. And maybe the fellow next door's been given 10 talents. But listen, so what? What has that got to do with you? You follow the Lord. Stop counting the cost and take what God's given you and God has assigned to you, the Bible says, and has called you to, and be faithful with what you've got. What does Jesus say in the parable of the talents? At the end, he says, if you've been faithful with little that I've given you, I'm going to trust you with much more in an age to come. Just be thankful and faithful with what you have on your plate, and stop looking over your shoulder at what you don't have. And all God asks from you is faithfulness. So let me ask you one more time before I come to an end. Are you a contented person? Well, don't start rearranging your thinking now. Were you a contented person when you walked in here this morning? If only people would take this passage and its wider context into understanding. We serve a God who rules sovereignly, who assigns each person a place, and he works all things to the good of those who love him. Do you know your place in life? Are you happy with the husband, the wife, the children, the job, the handsome, the not so handsome face you've got? Are you happy? Are you contented to be faithful with what God's dished out to you? Do you know the Puritans of the 17th century loved this teaching on providence? And they used to teach their people that every job, whether it's a street sweeper or a brain surgeon, every job is a calling, a divine calling. They would say every job is that which God has assigned. And they would say a street sweeper is just as much a Christian minister as an evangelist. And that is why they would do everything to the glory of God. They had what's known as the Puritan work ethic. Have you heard of it? When they went over to New England in the 17th century, they built a nation, just a few Christians, because everything they did, they knew was to the glory of God. I wish that people realized today more, especially church people, this truth, because I've met, even recently, so many discontented, unhappy Christians longing for the gold at the end of the rainbow and forgetting how much God's given them here and now, and all he wants them to do is be faithful with what they've got. You right now are exactly where God wants you to be. Maybe he's moving you on tomorrow, but leave that to God. You be faithful with what he's given you here and now. Can you do that? I can share this myself because I'm speaking to myself here and not preaching down to anyone else. I studied 8 long years with a dream of being an academic. I wanted to write some great book. I wanted to preach in some famous university. I'm at the age now where I'm realizing that's never going to happen. But you know what? Thinking about it, it's not what God wanted me to do. He's given me places where he wants me to serve with all my hang-ups and weaknesses. I'm where I'm meant to be. And that's all I need to know. So let me close with a challenge. Where's the best place in the world to be? Where's the best place in the world you could possibly think of being now? Bahamas? Come on. Blackpool? Do you know where? In the center of your loving Father's will. It's the best place in the world to be. Be where God wants you and you're in the center of his smile. What's the best job you could ever do? Brain surgeon? Prime minister? Do that which God expects of you. Whether it's cleaning the toilet or leading the nation. To the glory of God. And you know what? A willing spirit submitted to the sovereignty of God is pure joy. Be faithful with whatever God has given you to do. You should retain the place in life the Lord's assigned to you and called you to. So if you are frustrated and disappointed with who you are and where you are and what you've got today, please hear this word. God is the one that called you to be where you are. He's put the situation because he's testing and trying and bringing out a plan of glory in you. Are you prepared right now to say, I'm going to be happy and satisfied with where and what I am? Let's just pray. Please, God, please help us to believe this word. It's so clear. And yet we're brought up in an age of consumerism where we're always looking for the next laptop, the next iPhone, the next job, the next promotion. Father, thank you for what we have. And forgive us for the times so often when we've complained about the things we want. Blessed be your faithfulness. Amen.